good evening. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, Miss Gretchen.
Hi.
Thank you for being there.
Oh, Mitch, how are you? How's your son doing?
Oh. Hey, fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, he's out of the hospital doing well now. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Of course.
How's Miss Vicky doing? You heard much about it, sis?
No, actually, I haven't heard for a couple of days. They asked for some space, and I'm trying to be a grown-up about it and give it to them.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, last time I texted him, he was pulling tubes or something out of it. They were fixing a release race, he was saying.
Oh, really? When did you find that out?
It was like 2 days ago, I believe so. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. Isn't that great?
Yes, ma'am. I think I hear Phil speaking through. Maybe just getting backfeed on my phone too, though. I keep hearing something. Yeah, it's
okay.
Just me backfeeding. Me backfeeding, yes, ma'am. But yeah, about a couple of days ago, he sent me a text back saying they're pulling tubes out. Maybe sending her home.
Good. Well, that's fabulous.
But good.
Yeah,
yes, ma'am. How about you? Everything good?
Well, it's been a little
cold.
Wild and crazy. But yeah,
yes.
we're all doing well.
Cold in Pennsylvania, I bet.
Yeah, it's cold, but I guess that's just how it is up here.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Good living up there. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, it really is.
Scene 46 right here where I just pulled up in Midway, Georgia.
Stay safe out there.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm on mute.
All right. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Freedom's Way Ministries. This is Miss Gretchen coming to you from Pennsylvania, and I'll be facilitating for Pastors Vicki and Phil tonight. I did put the phone on Q&A mode just to cut all that feedback from our brother Mitch out there on the road. And, Father, I just thank you so much for him. I got to see him one. I remember when I met you at the wedding. You were just, I've never seen anybody shine like a light bulb like you did. You just were like a light bulb. It was pretty great. All right, well, welcome to our message this evening. And for anyone who's opened this message as a podcast, you probably heard already that this is a live teleconference meeting, and we do have people dialing in from all around the country, so thank you for your patience with us. The message will start very soon, and if you would like to join us live for any of our teleconference meetings held each Monday and Friday evening, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, you simply dial 605-405-2090 and enter the access code 373363 followed by the pound or hash sign. That actually does spell out the word free me for easy remembering. You can also go online at any time to www.freedomswayministries.com for more information. Thank you. Okay, so I put the phone back on Q&A mode. If anyone would like to come on and say hello, just hit your *6 key to be heard. And after we just do a little more of that, we'll get into the who, what, when, why, and how of faith, our teaching tonight. So again, *6. Hi, Gretchen. Oh, hello. How are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Great.
I'm glad you are here, and I'm glad everyone around you is safe and well. And you're one of my sweeties, Claudia.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for doing all this with me.
I love it. Thank you.
So everyone out there, we also have a teleconferencing line every weekday morning with the same dial-in number, 605-475-2090, with the access code FREEME, followed by the pound or hash sign. And Claudia is one of our regular prayer partners and scripture readers. So I'll go ahead and mute us back again and start with the presentation. Well, thank you so much, Father God, for being with us this evening and blessing us with your presence. I ask you, Lord, that you would allow me to help you feed your sheep in the mighty name of Jesus, the great shepherd. Praise the Lord. So again, tonight we are discussing our faith series, the who, what, when, why, and how of faith. We're actually in phase 3, part 2. The seed of faith and hindrances to faith. In the segment of our faith series, we're going higher and receiving greater depth of revelation about faith towards God, having God's faith, and using God's faith. Last week, we looked at the authority of the believer, where it came from, and how we can be sure in our authority. It isn't complicated, and hopefully we were able to convey that with clarity. Here's a quick review just to refresh our memories and to give us a jumping off place for talking about the seed of faith and some of the hindrances to faith. We took a little trip back to the beginning in Genesis, and saw how God gave mankind dominion over all his creation. Then we likened God's delegation of authority to a power of attorney, and showed how the authority went back to God when Adam disobeyed. Yes, it didn't go to Satan. It went back to God when Adam disobeyed. Jesus Christ was born into the earth with God's power of attorney, not just dominion, but authority. He then destroyed the works of the devil and turned God's power of attorney over to the saints. The devil never had it. He can only use his nature in us, fear, deception, and pride, to trick us into giving him a right to rule in some area of our lives. Even with that, the devil can only use deception for a season, and Satan's season is ended
Once a person is confirmed in the truth of his identity in Christ, turns to the true God, and believes truly the full gospel. Remember, there is no power in evil that is not given to it by man's agreement with it. All power belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us free use of it. And we have the choice to use God's power to destroy the works of hell or hand God's power over to the enemy to destroy us. Jesus walked the earth after his resurrection to teach us in even greater ways how to move in the power and authority of heaven. He put his generals and captains in place so that the victory he bought with his own blood would not be lost. By the power of God, believers became and are even now the body of Christ. We are glory carriers, and we have God's power of eternity to handle his affairs. Having the authority of heaven in our hands, we are to do what Jesus did. We are to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. We are to destroy the works of the devil. We are to take command over hell, over death and the grave. Our authority comes from Jesus Christ in us. It is full and complete, nothing lacking, and it is faith which works to accomplish these miracles, demonstrating God's power in the earth through his believers. There is a seed principle in faith, and that's the focus of our lesson tonight. God established principles in the earth which reflect principles in the spirit realm. These principles are set and do not change. Man can manipulate the principles, but cannot destroy them. For example, we can develop an aircraft to manipulate the principles of lift and thrust and, at least for a little while, have control over the principle of gravity. But these principles are still in place. And the principles don't change. The principles set up in the earth and in the heavens are stable, and they are for our instruction and benefit. Many times, Jesus spoke of the seed principle in the kingdom of God, comparing it to what the disciples would know about growing things from seeds planted in the earth. Sowing seeds, growing fruit, harvesting crops. All these things are used in Scripture to symbolize our spiritual lives. Let's take a look. Matthew 4:26-33. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. and the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And whereunto shall we the kingdom come? Or with comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it grows up, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spoke he the word to them, as they were able to hear it. So, Lord, we just stop right now and ask that you make us able to hear. You said you give revelation as we are able to hear, and we ask for hearing ears and understanding hearts, Father. Jesus spoke in Mark of a mustard seed, comparing it to the kingdom of God. We see this mustard seed also in Luke as faith. They are one and the same. The kingdom grows by the seed of faith. The kingdom of God, God's authority, is in and by faith. Luke 17:5-10. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be you plucked up by the root and be you planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by, when he's come from the field, sit down, go to meat? And will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird yourself and serve me until I've eaten and drunken, and afterwards you shall eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I say no. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. So we want to spend a little time in these verses in Mark and Luke to be sure we understand the seed principle of faith and the purpose of faith as a servant. Remember what we said before. When we work for God, faith works for us. In Mark, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a man casting seed into the ground and then waiting, not knowing how that seed is developing in the earth. And one day it just springs up and begins to produce. Well, let's think about this. The sower sows the seed. Jesus tells us the seed is the word, and the word is sown into our lives. The word, the seed, that falls into the good prepared ground of our hearts brings forth fruit. So many times we don't really know what's in us until it comes out. But we can know one thing for certainty. If we plant beans, we aren't going to get tomatoes. Planting the word of God's faith will bring forth God's faith. Planting some other word will bring forth some other thing. Just because as the earth brings forth of herself, so do we. The kingdom of God operates on a seed principle, just as the natural earth operates the same way. Without the intrusion of man manipulating the seed, one seed would produce forever exactly the same fruit. Without the intrusion of hell, our faith seed would produce forever exactly the same fruit of Holy Spirit faith. Jesus tells us faith has been planted in us by his word, and it is expected to grow and produce fruit. The seed is the servant of the planter. Faith is the servant of the believer. But the planter has to take care of the seed if he expects to see a harvest from it. Just as the servant is fed, so our faith must be fed. And we feed faith by God's word. It is his living water of truth which keeps his faith alive in us and causes it to mature. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. The blade of the corn gives us hope. The ear of the corn gives us certainty. Full corn in the ear gives us substance. That's a good picture of the development of our seed faith. The person of Jesus Christ within us, manifesting through us. So first, we see the blade. We get a glimpse of his power. And then we see the ear. We act on his power. And then we see the full corn in the ear. We live in his power. Hallelujah. So where do we go from here? We've established that faith is the seed of Jesus Christ within us, and it is planted by his word. We saw that you have to feed it. If we expect a harvest, and that without intrusion or manipulation of hell, our seed faith would produce perfect, mature fruit of the Holy Spirit forever. That's the principle. And the principle works every time. It never changes. And so how does hell go about manipulating the seed so that our faith becomes compromised hybrid instead of a pure seed which grows the kingdom of God? The biggest hindrance to God's faith producing fruit in us is a lack of understanding in six areas. We're going to look at each one of these areas where the devil has deceived us into misunderstanding or not fully comprehending truth. But first, we just want to name them. We're going to look at, so first, there is lack of understanding of the new creation. next. There's a lack of understanding of our place in him and his place in us. Third, there's a lack of understanding of righteousness. Next, there's a lack of understanding of our privilege and the right to use the name of Jesus. Fifth, there's a lack of understanding about acting on the Word of God. And finally, there is a lack of understanding that we are to hold fast to our confession of faith. These six areas of lack of understanding are ones which hinder our faith. They prevent us from living. They prevent the living water of God to flow through our garden, nurturing the seed. And so let's get some understanding. First of all, we are taught this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But what exactly does that mean? When we studied this verse out, chasing down its root meanings, it was found to encompass much more and perhaps a slightly different meaning than religion has taught us. Religion has taught us that once you get born again, you're a brand new person. Your old man is dead, and everything about your former life and self is new. There is a truth to that, but it's not the truth. First of all, if any man be in Christ, this is a positional place of rest in the Anointed One and His anointing. In Christ. If you and I are resting in the anointing of the Holy Spirit at peace, then we are a new creature. What is a new creature? This means new in freshness, refreshed, through the idea of proprietorship of the manufacturer. So, in other words, when we set ourselves in a position of rest in God, He takes over and begins to regenerate what He created in us that has been tainted and spoiled by hell in the world. Old things are passed away. Old things are the things that had precedence in our lives, things we thought and were taught were important, things we believed before Jesus came into our hearts. For most people, the old things are self things, self-sufficiency, independence, self-preservation, self-protection, and so on. Other old things are those sin spirits, which are too numerous to name, which have some degree controlled our actions and attitudes. But passed away doesn't mean passed away the way we think of something passing away. It actually means to come near or aside, approach or go by, perish or neglect. So what we can understand by old things are passed away is a revealing of error, which we can now deal with and put out of our path as we follow on to know the Lord. All things are become new means that everything about us now has caused to come into being with freshness again, according to the proprietorship of the manufacturer. We now have the ability, because of the acceptance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by the Father, to allow Him to refresh and regenerate us. You know, a lot of people get born again and doubt their salvation because they aren't the brand new creature they think they're supposed to be. We live in a fast food society, and we think the born again experience is a hot and now moment. Now, granted, some things may have immediately changed in our lives, but not all. There is a working out with fear and trembling involved in being this new creature as we yield to God and allow Him to refabricate us, removing the evil and leaving His righteousness. The second area of lack of understanding is that of our place in Him and His place in us. God uses in Christ, in Him, and in whom 134 times in the New Testament. So obviously, He wants us to be sure of our position and what that looks like. You know, we talk a lot about true identity, and this is what we mean. Our identity is in Christ, not in what people say or think about us, not in what we think we can or can't do, and it's not in what we have or don't have. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Revelation names us as priests and kings. You know, and all of these descriptions are good and true. We are a kingdom of priests and a priesthood of kings. We have authority in both the natural world and the spirit realm. However, grasping the reality of what being a priest or king really is may be difficult. And that is where some lack of understanding comes in. Colossians gives us a picture of our identity in Christ. Colossians 3, verses 11 to 15, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. In actuality, this is what it means to be a priest and a king. Love. To love with authority. It is not puffed up. We're all the same in it. And it binds us together in perfection. We are complete in Christ, thoroughly furnished to good works. In Christ, we are both furnished and finished. So the next area of the lack of understanding of righteousness perhaps holds more people in bondage than any other. We need to understand what righteousness is and what it imparts. Righteousness is not self-righteousness. Self-righteousness actually is abomination. Speaking in the simplest terms, righteousness is right standing with God. Being accepted of God because of my belief only and not any action on my part. Self-righteousness is right standing with man, being accepted by man because of my actions. Righteousness is of God. And it is the righteousness of Christ in us. Self-righteousness is of religion, and it works in the concept of being good enough to deserve acceptance and salvation. Righteousness loves people, bringing judgment on evil and justice to people. Self-righteousness loves being right. It loves being in control. It loves bringing judgment on people and justice to no one. Self-righteousness knows the cost of everything, but the value of nothing. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Righteousness in this verse in James means equitable in character or action, innocent and holy. Unrighteousness in the verse in 1 John means injustice, moral wrongness of character, life, or action. There is only one who is righteous, and that is the Lord Jesus. We are righteous only in Him. But in Him, let's not forget we are righteous. because of our position in Christ, the Father sees us as holy, innocent, unblameable, and unreprovable. Wow, that's amazing. The next area of lack of understanding is our privilege and the right to use the name of Jesus. And herein, in the name, the very character of the living God, is our authority. You know, we need to know and understand the many aspects of the character of Jesus, his names, so that we can appropriate his power and presence into our lives. Then we can stand in the name of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healing, and speak healing. Or stand in the name of Jehovah Tiskenu and bring righteousness. Or Jehovah Shalom and call forth peace. And I think you get the picture. Know the Lord, who he is, and you'll know who you are. And then you can effectively use the name of Jesus as he intended us to. Mark 16, 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John 14, 12 to 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Next, we have lack of understanding about acting on the word. You know, the only thing we really need to ask is, what has God said? It is his word, not our warped reasoning of it, which gives us what we need to act in faith. Acting on the word of God is a trust issue. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. But unfortunately, most Christians believe that when they act in faith on a word from the Lord, it will be smooth sailing. After all, nothing should go wrong if we're following what God said to do, right? Wrong. The enemy will always have a counterattack set and ready. There are too many Christians in the world today who've stopped walking in faith because they'd rather not be bothered by the devil. They think, if I don't pray for people, then I won't get hurt. If I just sit back and do nothing and wait to go to heaven, the devil will leave me alone. The sad part of that kind of thinking is this. The devil's not going to leave any of us alone, at least not for very long. It's like feeding a monster, hoping he will eat you last. Compromise and complacency is a monster from hell. And all we accomplish by not moving in faith is that we may actually get to heaven before our time. If we aren't fulfilling God's purposes and following his plan, if we're rebelling against God because of fear of reprisal, we're already spiritually dead. So it's just a matter of time till we get to experience physical death as well. Step out, saints. True believing demands action. Luke 8:21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. John 3:21. But he that does truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Finally, many of us have a lack of understanding about holding fast to our confession of faith. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast means to use strength to seize and retain. Profession means the acknowledgement of our lips and our actions that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is Lord of all, and that we are in him, and he is in the realm of happiness, power, and eternity, which means we're also in that realm. Heaven is not for some time in the future. It is for here and now. We must never be moved by what we see, but only by what we believe. If we are afraid to act or confess the word of God before we see it manifest, we are in doubt. It is a matter of trusting God and knowing, of being fully persuaded of his truthfulness. Once again, here are the confessions that we are to profess, proclaim, and live by. The absolute lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord over all things. 1 Peter 5:7. I don't have a care. I am worry-free because Jesus cares for me. Isaiah 53:3-5. Every sickness, disease, sorrow, and grief was laid on Jesus so that I am free of all sickness, disease, sorrow, and grief. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus is made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That is who he is, so that is who I am. If we're not really enjoying the reality of God's truth in our lives, it's likely because our confessions have bound us to the spirit of the world and the lies of hell. Let's break free forever. What do you say, saints? So I'd like for you to repeat after me this prayer. we speak out loud so that the battle in the heavenlies is brief, it is easy, it is finished before it begins. Because really, it's our speaking from our heart that makes our will and our intent clearly known to the spirit realm. The angels, of course, act on the word of God, and the demons act as well. And so I praise you, Lord, and thank you for that truth. I just thank you for moving in my life and giving me great faith and faith in your word. So ready, folks? Let's begin. If you'll repeat after me. Father God, thank you for reminding me that I have the fruit of Holy Spirit within me because of my position in Jesus Christ and His in me. Thank you for making your spiritual power tools available for me to use to expand your kingdom in the earth. Help me understand that faith is a servant that needs to be fed with your word of truth and mercy and grace and love. Give me greater understanding of the ways I've hindered faith so that I can recognize and avoid the hindrances to faith. I don't want to plant seeds of faith and then dig them up with my own words. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for those times that I've done that. Help me walk in fresh understandings that I've learned tonight, Lord. Make me sure in my understanding of the new creation, of righteousness, of my place in you, and yours in me, of my right and privilege to use the name of Jesus. Show me daily how to act on your word and how to hold on to seize and retain my confession of faith and how to let go of all doubt. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I renounce and pull down every word I've spoken which hindered my faith. I break every curse that may have attached itself to me, bound me to defeat, or destroyed victory in my life. I crush those words under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I declare that they will bear no fruit in my life. I ask you to forgive me, Father, for receiving, believing, and living in the spirit of the world and the lies of hell which have hindered my faith. I reject and renounce these things now, and I declare that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is all-powerful and effective to free me from all unclean spirits that have worked in my life because of my lack of understanding and my wrong confessions. Thank you, Father, for your awesome delivering power and presence. Amen. Well, thank you very much, folks. I'm just going to follow up with a real brief prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I just thank you and praise you for this word. I thank you for helping me walk it out. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak to every spirit and spirit guide that got stirred up, that hadn't left your people. I recognize you. I command you to rise up and lead the saints, every unclean spirit that has been at work causing deception, blocking faith, and hindering the kingdom of God. The Lord rebuke you through me, and I praise you, God, that you did not give any of your people a spirit of fear, but a spirit of faith. And Father, I bless their faith. I nurture it. I water it, Lord, and I bless it to spring forth out of the earth the grain, the corn, the husk, the blade. Oh, Father, all things. And I pray, Lord, that you would plant this word in our hearts that would bear forth fruit, even 30, 60, and 100 fold. In the mighty name of Jesus. Give me 1 minute to unmute the phone for anyone who has a comment or a question. Just 1 minute. Okay, thank you, everyone. We're now in Q&A mode, which means if you would like to make a comment, you may by hitting the star 6 key. And again, if we don't hear you, it's because we can't hear you, star 6. Pastors Vicki and Phil should be back very soon. And I want to thank you all for allowing me to minister to you and bring the word. We thank you, Gretchen. Thank you. It was
thank
awesome.
You,
wonderful.
Thanks.
I'll see you in the morning.
Okay. Morning,
thank
is.
You.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you, Gretchen, planting those seeds of love out there and understanding.
Thank you, Mighty Mitch.
Thank you, sis. A lot of good word out there. Thank you.
You're welcome. Stay safe out there and send our love to
you. All right. Thank you, sis. Thank you. And you're a bright light for us, too, Jen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you, Ms. Gretchen. Thank you, babe. Thank you. Yeah, everybody's
thank
good.
You.
Thank you. Thank you for the word. All right. I'll mute out.
All right. Well, thank you again and bless you. I say to you, Father, Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I just bless your saints as they come and go, as you walk in them and move in them, as you are our God and we are your people. We just bless you, Yah. We just thank you for the unity of faith. I thank you for this little family that you've given me, Father, this little beautiful core of faith and believing and just blessings, Father. I just say the Lord bless you.
keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord himself lift his very countenance upon you and give you his peace. And I bless you in the name of Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua, HaMashiach, our Messiah, our risen Lord. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. Thank you for your spirit. Oh, my. I just love it. Okay, good night, everyone. We'll see you. We also, don't forget, we meet every weekday morning, 7:15 Eastern. Dial in number 605-475-2090, followed by 373-363 with the pound or hash sign. Again, that's spelled free me, and we'd love for you to join us. Till then, good night all.
Good night, Ms. Gretchen. Good night.